Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 6 years ago, Ash Wednesday fell on February 14th, which is also the day the church observes St. Valentine and the world knows as St. Valentine's Day. As you know, today this is happening again. Ash Wednesday is falling on the day the church observes St. Valentine. And this will happen again in 2029, should our Lord Jesus Christ choose to delay his return and come sometime after that. During Advent this past year, the three Wednesdays in Advent all fell on days in which the church commemorates various saints. And I think it's interesting that this Lenten season begins in a similar manner, falling on a day in which the church also observes a saint. Like many annual observances in the Western culture bearing names with ancient Christians, Saint Valentine's Day is based on a real person, as is Saint Nicholas or Saint Patrick. Saint Valentine was a real Christian, and in time, many customs were introduced that have become what we now see as St. Valentine's Day in our age. So in our day, this day is known for romance and cards and candies and things that are pink. It's a somewhat strange way to remember a Christian pastor who was martyred for refusing to cooperate with the Roman Emperor. You see, back in the year of our Lord, 269, the public practice of Christianity was not legal in the Roman Empire, and the ruler, Claudius II, became known as Claudius the Cruel. He needed to maintain a strong army to continue his bloody campaigns and conquests. However, young men were reluctant to join the military. Claudius thought men were unwilling to go and fight because they were attached to their wives and to their families. And so the emperor came up with a solution to ban all engagements, to prevent any marriages from taking place in Rome. So without the menace of family in the way, men would then fight the king's battles. A pastor named Valentine refused to follow the decree and continued to perform marriages, but he did so in secret. When Emperor Claudius found out, he ordered Valentine to be put to death. He was beaten with clubs and he was beheaded on February 14th in the year of our Lord, 270. It is said that he wrote some sort of note of encouragement on an irregular shaped piece of paper to the child of his jailer, and that led to the notes of love that we often see today. There are many other legends concerning this man. In fact, books commemorating the martyrs identify three men who were named Valentine, who were all martyred, who were pastors, and who the claim is were all martyred on February 14th. These documents, however, were written hundreds of years after these men's lives, and so it is difficult to know what is certain about Valentine or the various men who are named Valentine. In fact, that name was a common name in those days, derived from the Latin valens, which means strong or worthy. If you fast forward from the year of his martyrdom in 270 to the year of our Lord 496, the Pope declared February 14th to be celebrated as St. Valentine's Day. the observance of the martyr, believed to be this one in Rome. He did this in part to end the feast of Lupercalia on February 15th, which was a pagan festival of love. So between the supposed note and the replacement of a pagan love holiday, it is no surprise then that this day has become associated with love. It's interesting that all of tonight's readings, which are the regularly appointed readings for Ash Wednesday, each include the word love once. One of them speaks of the love of God, and that is found in Joel chapter 2, where it is written, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster." God abounds in steadfast love. And therefore we love because he first loved us, as St. John writes in his first epistle. The scriptures sometimes connect the love of God to Christ's sacrificial payment for the sins of the world. For example, it is written in Romans 5, "God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." It's also written in Ephesians chapter 5, "Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." And Jesus said on Maundy Thursday, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." And it's also written in Ephesians 2, "God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Such wonderful love of God, by which he loves us unconditionally. He does not first consider how likable we may be, how much he could control us, or how receptive we may be to his teachings. Instead, Jesus loves us by laying down his life for us so that we are reconciled to God our Father in heaven. He became our sins so that we can become the righteousness of Christ. When Adam and Eve sinned, God declared, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." God was pronouncing the curses for the sin that had just entered into the world. "For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Yet right before that, he promised that through her seed would come the Savior who would destroy the serpent. And in his sacrificial act on the cross, he will take away the sin of the world, so that sinners like Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, would be reconciled to God. God continues to shower his love upon us. God killed an animal and made garments of skins and clothed Adam and Eve after he pronounced his curses along with the prophecy that Christ would come. And by doing that, he prefigured the sacrificial payment that Christ would make. That innocent animal was killed and served as a covering for Adam and Eve. Christ, the innocent Lamb of God, who bare our sins and iniquities in his, who bore his our sins and iniquities in his body, he shed his innocent blood on our behalf, so that we can be covered in the righteousness of Christ, so that we are now clothed in him. That is the love of God. We are reminded very solemnly who we are when ashes are imposed upon us. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Such strange words to hear on Valentine's Day, but when we consider that a cross is placed on our foreheads, which reveals to us the love of God in Christ, we will gladly remember that we are not only dust, but that we are marked by our Savior. At our baptism, this same cross is placed upon both upon our foreheads and upon our hearts to mark us redeemed by Christ the Crucified. In our psalm tonight, we prayed, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies." Concerning this psalm, Dr. Martin Luther rightly said, "The psalm is a prayer in which Christ himself prophesies and complains about his betrayer Judas and those who would have him crucified. He asks that he may be raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand." Luther is correct. Jesus is speaking in this psalm. And what does Jesus say? "Blessed is he who has regarded the suffering one, for the Lord delivers him in time of trouble." Blessed are you when you regard the crucified one, for he will deliver you in the time of trouble. Blessed are you when you are not offended by Christ the crucified one, for he will not abandon you. Blessed are you when you regard our Lord Jesus Christ, for he will deliver you from your sin and grant you salvation. You see, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, so also we love him who redeemed us and grants us life. We see him as our Savior, and he sees us as his saints. After all, we have been united with him through baptism into death. And just as he has risen from the grave through the glory of the Father, so also we rise and live in newness of life. Our bodies may return to dust, but Jesus will return, and he will raise our bodies from the dead. And we will live with perfect resurrected bodies to all eternity, when he comes back and recreates the heavens and the earth, and when he acquits us and ushers us into his eternal kingdom. We share in these blessings even now, for we have been joined to his death and resurrection in baptism. We are raised with him, and we live to God in Christ Jesus. He considers the poor in spirit and grants them the kingdom of heaven. And in the same way, we consider the poor one, our Lord Christ, who bore our sins in his body, and he delivers us from the day of trouble, as we learn from Jesus through the psalm. The consideration is mutual, and it is blessed by his love. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.